Hey everybody, before we get into the show, I do want to let you know that we have another live show coming up Thursday, April 18th at 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas in North Las Vegas. We are going to be talking about the vampire ballerina horror comedy Abigail. This movie looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And joining me to talk about it are my wife, Gina Mazzoni, film student Perry Markle, and filmmaker and Sin City Horror Club founder Nick Woods. It's going to be a great time, great conversation. There's an enter to win contest going on right now on my website, piecingpod.com. You can find a link in the show notes. Enter to win some tickets. And otherwise, tickets are available from Maya Cinemas. And I hope to see you there on Thursday, April 18th at 6 p.m. Right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about 65, the movie that absolutely did not look real, but featured Adam Driver going back 65 million years into the past with a laser gun to fight dinosaurs. And I was really excited about this movie. Kind of let down a little bit, but we'll get into that when we get to the conversation. Joining me is JC from the podcast Screen Fix, which is a podcast I've been on a few times. JC's been on my podcast a bunch of times, and we have a great conversation coming up. Lots of great puzzle pieces, and we have fun talking about this ridiculous movie. Before we get to it, make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is that you're listening right now. And if you like Piecing It Together, share the show with your friends, drop a 5-star rating, follow me on social media at Piecing Pod, and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. Really appreciate you all being out there and listening. We've had a really great month as far as listenership is concerned, and it's always nice to know that people are out there. So keep listening, keep subscribing, drop those ratings, follow us, get involved, and, if you have a puzzle piece that we don't bring up, make sure to send it my way, either through Twitter or Facebook or directly the email in the show notes, and I'll read it on the next trailers episode. So I love hearing from you guys. So with that said, let's get into 65. JC from Screen Fix is here to go 65 million years into the past with me and fight some dinosaurs. How you doing, JC?
I am great. I love dinosaurs. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a paleontologist. I knew all the names of the dinosaurs. I loved huge bones. Compensating. I was really excited for this one. Super stoked. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't think there's going to be a 66.
No, I don't think so either, for a variety of reasons. But, I will say, I guess we'll get this out there up front. I was also very excited for it. I wasn't as let down as you appear to be. I don't think it's very successful in what it sets out to do. But I also think, and we'll get into this as we get into the pieces, I do think that it is trying to play in a certain kind of not exactly blockbuster type of movie. Like, I think it's trying to be a B movie. I think it's trying to continue in the footsteps of some of these kinds of dinosaur things and monster things that aren't always exactly the best movies in the world. They're just an excuse to have a little bit of fun and have some creatures.
This is an excuse to waste money. It's got to be somebody's test.
That too.
This would have been great if it was on Apple Plus and it was free and was like, six episodes or eight episodes or whatever. It would have been fantastic. Mm. Unfortunately.
Actually, that would have been boring as hell having to wait to watch that. This story spread out to like 8 hours or something like that. Oh, kill me.
You don't think they could have had any, it would have required the writers to come up with actually exciting, set pieces, use some creativity, from hour to hour.
The writers of A Quiet Place, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's the...
Right on the poster.
Right, it's the writers of A Quiet Place, but, you know, I don't know, like, the pitch meeting is like, so hear us out. It's A Quiet Place, but we don't have to be quiet. And the executive's like, that's ridiculous. Get out of my office. I'm like, but it's dinosaurs in the past? I'm listening. Like, I don't know. There's really nothing that is special about it. I was not excited at all. I will admit to falling asleep twice.
I don't blame you, honestly.
Yeah, I was getting real bummed.
You know, before we get to puzzle pieces, one other thing I wanted to mention. I recently joined you to talk about Quantumania,
yes.
The new Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like this movie has a similar issue that Quantumania had.
Ooh, what's that?
That I talked about during that conversation, which is a big, high concept that you kind of can't parse out at all that's actually the thing that's happening. The idea of this movie is that it's 65 million years in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so, because there's dinosaurs. Like, this could be anywhere. It could be another planet.
Yep.
It could be another existence, another multiverse, whatever. Like, it's not drawn well enough to where, like, the conceit is actually what's happening. I felt that way about Quantumania, that it's like, is this really down into the subatomic level, or is it just another planet that they're on? Like, there's nothing that really sells the idea.
It's true. It's like, why would they go through the trouble of calling it 65, saying it's 65 million years ago and all the marketing and all that kind of stuff, and then not give us any dinosaurs that we recognize except for that T-Rex, I guess, is the one. But
sure.
I didn't really recognize any of the other dinos. Like, you're like, give me a dino movie where I can say, oh, there's that dinosaur. There's that dinosaur. You know, make it, I just don't understand them having to go all in with dinosaurs, because if they're not dinosaurs that I recognize, then they might as well have just been aliens. Like, it might as well have been Quiet Place on another planet, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
exactly.
So I thought that was a bit of a missed opportunity there too.
Yeah, I'm with you. But with that said, let's get to some puzzle pieces. What do you have for your first piece?
My first piece is James Cameron's Aliens. Did you have that one?
I actually do not have Aliens on my list. So I'm glad.
The parallels are there. Would you like for me to go into it? Would you like for me to give you this piece to add to your puzzle? All right, here we go.
Yes.
You know, it's got a bit of Aliens because, of course, you know, Ripley finds Newt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has to escape this planet full of killer aliens while keeping her surrogate daughter, Newt, alive. And another plot point that's in Aliens is that Ripley finds out that her daughter, Amanda, died. So there's another parallel there with Adam Driver. He also finds out that his daughter died, the one that he went on this whole mission for, to get the money for her sickness or whatever, because these people can, you know, travel the vast distances of the galaxy, but they can't stop whatever ailment this girl has.
Yeah. And let me be clear also, they have evolved in exactly the same way in this completely distant universe to need space money to fix their space diseases. Every single thing is exactly the same as Earth and humans.
It's exactly the same. It's disheartening to know that Big Pharma will evolve no matter what, like, evolutionary path that mankind takes. Big Pharma is going to be there, you know. So yeah, I mean, it's got from them both having their daughters dying, to having to take on a surrogate daughter, to having to get it from it being like a point A to point B type of survival against creatures adventure. Aliens was my first puzzle piece.
I like it. Great. Lots of parallels there. You're absolutely right. Even more than I would have thought at first when you first brought it up. So yeah, like it's got it all. And so that's a good one.
I don't mess around when I come on this show.
I know you're always good. You always bring the goods for sure. I like all the Alien movies kind of to some degree deal with these kind of like, you know, a crash landing on a planet or, you know, something like that. Everything after the first one, of course. But yeah, like it's kind of the way that these kind of space exploration movies go, and it always goes wrong, and then they always have to escape, and the most deadly thing ever is there, and they have to survive. So yeah, I mean, all those telltales are there.
Deadly things, and also like cliche things, like at one point he falls into quicksand.
Yeah.
Or like, what was it? It's just one of those bogs that you can't get out of that randomly appear in, you know, 80s movies.
That's a good point. And you know what? I'll bump this puzzle piece up so that way we can get to that. I was going to go with a different one first, but, so I know that there's a lot of these like 70s and 80s, very heavily cliched dinosaur adventure type movies that are probably the real inspiration here for these writers and the director. I haven't seen any of those since I was a kid, but last year I just watched The Lost World for the first time, the 1925
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle novel adaptation.
Yeah. Absolutely. The inspiration for King Kong and all, basically every monster movie that came after. And it also follows that same kind of thing of people just getting lost in this strange new world that has all these kind of creatures, and they see the sights and they have to, you know, escape from the monsters and survive and find their way. And I believe there was a quicksand scene in that movie, if I'm remembering correctly,
all
from last
year.
But every single one of them has the quicksand.
Like, quicksand
every
is like one a major danger in
it. Yes.
It's like a major danger in most jungle adventure films. It's a huge danger.
Exactly. You always have to worry about quicksand. You always have to worry about these dinos and the bugs and all these things. So yeah, I mean, that one, it seems like an obvious one, I think, but at the same time, it fits for me personally because, like I said, I haven't seen a lot of like those 70s and 80s ones that in so long that I felt like because I just watched it, I would use that as my first piece here. So yeah, that's where I'm going for The Lost World for my first one.
That's good when you went old. You know, that one is one of those, you know, preserved in the United States National Film Registry, you know, those ones that are, you know, what are they said, the culturally or significant or whatever. You know, that movie...
Put it on a spaceship.
You know, that movie's in the public domain if you want to do a remake, David.
That would be pretty cool. I actually would like to just basically rescore it. I should do that one of these days. That would be a good project for me.
It's a good project. It'd be fun. I'm going to hold you to that one.
Yeah, I'll do that. What do you have for your next puzzle piece?
My next puzzle piece is... It's funny because you mentioned Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. You mentioned Lost World and how it... inspired things like King Kong. My next puzzle piece is Kong Skull Island.
Okay, sure.
So Kong Skull Island, I feel like even from a visual standpoint, is a good comparison, is a good puzzle piece. It's like, so people, it's another one of those people needing to get from point A to point B, right? You know, but in that one, they have to battle against like giant insects. They have to battle against lizards. They also have to battle against the apex mammal Kong, but you know, they have to battle insects, giant lizards, things in the water. And I also think that the design of the dinosaurs looks a lot like the lizard creatures that were in Kong Skull Island 2, the ones that kind of Kong shows up and beats up a couple of those. And but just so I really think that when I was watching this movie, the first thing I thought was those lizards, the dinosaurs that I wish I could recognize as dinosaurs, look a lot like the lizards from Kong Skull Island. And then I started thinking this is like Kong Skull Island because they need to get, you know, from point A to point B and, you know, get off the planet or get off the island.
I think they were called Skull Crushers.
Skull
by the way.
Crushers.
Kind of remembering that.
Yeah. The Skull Crushers. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
So yes, this was the planet of the Skull Crushers with a Tyrannosaurus Rex thrown on, which is actually a lot more like King Kong, because I know in King Kong, Kong fights a Tyrannosaurus Rex on this island too. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mix of, you know, King Kong stuff and Kong Skull Island. But I will say that as much as I really surprisingly enjoyed Kong Skull Island, I thought it had a very simple story, but it had like incredible visuals, awesome action, and you know, more than once just made my eyes open. I'm like, well, like really enjoying what I'm seeing. Not once during this movie did I go or feel like, wow, I'm having a good time in this theater. I was having kind of a dour time and not very fun time. It was you know, like if they were trying to make it a B movie, they really made it more of a Z movie because I was falling asleep. You know?
Fair, yeah. Well, I agree with you though about Kong Skull Island. It is it's a blast, and it makes the most of its kind of trappings in that like kind of B movie kind of thing. But it actually does it well, and you have a lot of fun with the characters. They're very silly, but they're really fun to watch, and the creatures are fun to watch.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a great time.
I mean, the whole movie's like hero shots with Instagram filters. That's what the whole movie looks like. But it works.
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
Great. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll go to the piece that I was originally going to kick it off with, which is Planet of the Apes, the original. I feel like this has to be true, that the idea for this movie, the reason someone as big as Adam Driver signed on to it, and why these guys who just came off A Quiet Place wanted to make this, was to hide that conceit of it being 65 million years ago, and that was supposed to be some big reveal. And at some point, some like
marketing
studio heads were like,
studio
no, we got to market the whole thing around this. Mm-hmm. Like, it was supposed to be a Planet of the Apes style ending where like you find out that it's Earth and your mind blows, and that's that, you know? I feel bad for them if that is the case, because they sure screwed up the launch of this movie. And I don't know, you know, it's hard to tell whether or not we would have liked it more, especially you, since you didn't really like it at all. Like, it's hard to tell, like, if it would have worked better with that being concealed until you get into the theater and things go down. But I feel like it would have worked better.
I mean, it's hard to hide it because we do know what everyone is pretty well versed in what a dinosaur looks like what our common, you know, Earth past dinosaurs look like. I mean, so it'd be hard to hide, but they could absolutely hide it. They could have just done it like you know, the ads could have had it more of like a Monster in the Shadows kind of deal.
Right.
So they could have hid that. And also that might be behind why some of the designs of the lizards look not very like specific to dinosaurs that you can place, you know.
Sure.
You know, if it was more like, oh, they arrived on a planet full of lizards, you would have been like, oh, okay. And then it's Earth, here comes the meteor coming down.
Yeah
You know.
Were you expecting the meteor to be coming?
I kind of did.
Yeah,
I guess because it was called 65, and I think isn't that when that was supposed to happen? Sometime around to the day. Yes, yeah, so we know the exact day. The exact day that it came down and knocked them all out. Yeah, I mean, I did think that, and I think I thought some of that because of the trailers too. I knew things were exploding, and I was like, oh, that's probably going to be the meteor or whatever, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, what do you got for your next piece?
I was going to say a little bit about, you know, like, I also had things like Planet of the Apes also, but really I didn't really have Planet of the Apes. I had what's called the Earth All Along trope. So one of my puzzle pieces is really the Earth All Along trope, because there's so many of them. I mean, Planet of the Apes does it amazing, but it's like Logan's Run does it.
Mm.
Battlestar Galactica did it. Doctor Who did it recently. Twilight Zone did it a number of times. I mean, fantasy books do it, like Sword of Shannara and Wheel of Time. Like, it's such a common that Earth All Along trope. You find it everywhere and in every type of media, from comics to TV shows to movies. It's a very super common trope. And I think these days, if you're going to do that trope, with which this movie tried to do, you have to come more creative than what they did.
Right, absolutely. And yeah, I didn't even realize it's been done that many times. I mean, obviously Planet of the Apes is like the one that I would have thought of, but I didn't know Battlestar Galactica did it, or Doctor Who, or any of those things. So
yeah, all of them. So, and
pretty common though.
Yeah, it is. And they needed a lot more creativity. This is like this is every single person who likes dinosaurs is like, this is
what if
this is everyone's like idea. I feel like I wonder how many just like would-be sci-fi writers or would-be or even sci-fi fans have even just jotted this idea down on like a notepad, because it feels like one of the more obvious like sci-fi ideas if you like sci-fi, right? It seems so common.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you mentioned the 65, the meteor that was coming down. One of my next puzzle pieces is the dinosaur ride in Animal Kingdom at Disney World.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah. So the premise of that ride is you have to go back and you've got to like grab this one dino or something, but when they send you back, it's right before the meteor arrives. So you're like being chased by this, I forget which dinosaur it is, but it's red and it looks like Satan. Like it's frightening. Like the ride, in fact, that ride was so frightening, they had to close it for a while and tone it down because it was too intense for kids. And I remember going on it like when it kind of first came out, and I had the absolute pleasure of being in a car full of little kids, and all of them by the end were crying, like hysterically crying, tears running down, snot coming out, mommy, why, like all of it. It was amazing. But when I was watching this, it's got that thing where it's like, it's very similar where it's not just one meteor coming down, it's fragments all over the place that are just landing, and they're landing in the background or landing in the foreground. And while I was watching this movie, I just kept having flashbacks to this traumatizing Disney ride at Animal Kingdom.
And then this weekend you were traumatized by having to sit through this movie. So
yes,
poor JC, you know,
JC has a rough life with being let down by dinosaur stuff. Somebody needs to come along, right, and make something good with dinos, right? Please, like
I'm with you.
Even Sir Arthur Conan Doyle in The Lost World had the good sense to have them bring back he brings back a brontosaurus or something like that. Even he has like the good sense to have a brontosaurus brought back from, you know, The Lost World and have it, you know, wreak havoc in London, making London Bridge collapse. Like those really
spectacle.
Yes, those spectacle and the fun twists and things like that. It's you know, instead we got, you know, in the last year we got that third Jurassic World movie, which is another one of the worst things I've ever watched. And the one before that, which is pretty bad. It's more of a, you know, monster in the house, you know, trapped in the house with the monster kind of movie. But and then you got this, and it's just, I mean, sci-fi fans and dinosaur lovers, I'll call us dimphomaniacs. We're dying and we're horny for a good sci-fi dinosaur movie.
I'm hoping it's coming sometime soon.
And this thing was produced by Sam Raimi, your guy.
I know.
That's your guy.
I know. It's kind of a bummer, but you know, we've got the new Evil Dead Rise, which he had a hand on the producing end for as well, coming up here in a month, and I'm hopeful, but it's kind of a mixed bag with what he puts his name on. So I don't know. We'll see.
But, gosh, you're right.
Ay.
What happened here? I'm blaming you because this is your guy.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I'll go to a little puzzle piece I wanted to throw in here. Obviously we've got Kylo Ren here as the star. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with The Last Jedi. Because just like Luke Skywalker tricked Kylo Ren with the Force Ghost projection trick, Adam Driver's daughter basically tricks a Tyrannosaurus Rex with Force Ghost projection to save the day here. So
yep.
I thought you'd like this puzzle piece.
Wow. That's that's a stretch, but it's okay.
While the movie is playing out, I'm like, this is The Last Jedi.
You were like, Adam Driver, hologram, boom, puzzle piece. Like, done. Okay, just tell me this. So when you're sitting in the theater and you're eating your popcorn or whatever, when you're looking at the movie, do you literally just go, like, in your brain, you go, like, what do you say to yourself in your brain? You go, puzzle piece.
Yeah. Do you see them floating?
They float. It's like a beautiful mind, but the screen is getting them, puzzles. You know? A little puzzle piece comes out of the screen, like it comes out of the overall picture, and it floats into your hand and while you're sitting there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
That's what happens. Yeah.
I like it.
It's fun watching a movie with me, that's for sure. So, what do you got for your next puzzle piece, JC?
Well, poop. I talked a whole bunch, and I kind of talked over all of them. I really did. It's because I talk too much. I really don't have any other ones. I could try to think
I've got
one.
A couple more. I could run through them and get your reactions on them. Yeah. And we'll see what you think. Maybe they might even jostle a little extra something in there.
Perfect.
But you already brought up Cameron, but I was thinking Avatar. The creatures out there, they all want to eat your eyes like juju bees. Mm. You know, like it does a good job of, like, you know, everything is out to get you. Everything wants to eat you. There's nothing safe. There's no safety anywhere in this entire world that poor Adam Driver is stuck on. So I definitely thought of Avatar, and that kind of like goes along with the Lost World and the Kong Skull Island and all those things that we were talking about. Definitely feels King Kong-ish as well.
Yeah,
I already talked about
that. Like I said, I talk too much, and I talked over half my pieces.
It's okay.
But anyway. Yeah, no, that's another good one. I mean, there's so many of these, you know, Discovered the Lost. But there was, what was that? There was that Land of the Lost with that Will Ferrell remake that cost, you know, $300 million and was a flop.
That's exactly what I'm talking about when I said, like, this is inspired by all of those very B-movie dinosaur movies. I mean, that was too, and that didn't work out too well.
No, and it was super expensive. That was like a big deal. You know, that one came out, it cost a fortune, and didn't make its money.
Yeah. I mean, they tried, that's for sure. I also throw in, we mentioned Sam Raimi is a producer on this thing. The way that Adam Driver kind of gets, like, knocked around a bunch instead of getting eaten immediately, I thought of Army of Darkness and Bruce Campbell's Ash. Like, the moment when he falls out of a tree and doesn't die, and then he has to, like, bang his shoulder back into place so he can shoot his gun again right at the last second, all felt very Ash, very like Sam Raimi beating up on Bruce Campbell.
Well, he can, because they've known each other forever. So it could just, I wonder what it's like for Sam Raimi to direct Bruce Campbell at this point. Like, I've known you since you were like 18, dude. Jump out of the tree. Jump out of the tree now. Like, no, but, yeah, like, again, how cool would this movie have been if it was on Apple Plus starring Bruce Campbell?
Well, anything would have been better starring Bruce Campbell, pretty much. So, but yeah, I know what you're saying, though, for sure. And I mean, I really like Adam Driver, though. And I think I want to see him do more weird stuff, like stuff that doesn't seem like, because that was the big thing when this poster first came out and everyone was like, what? Is that like a real movie? You know?
Yes.
I want to see him do more things where you're like, what? Is that a real movie? Because that's it's exciting.
It looks like in the movies where the character in the movie is an actor, so you see the fake posters of stuff he's been
right.
in on the back wall. That's exactly what this is. One of those like fake movie on the back wall on a poster.
Yeah,
films. That's yeah. exactly what
that's exactly what it is, and that's why I was 100%. Excited for it.
Yeah, so was I. I mean, I just wanted it to be fun. I wanted at least one really great creative action set piece, and it was too small, and it was just the entire movie just about just took place in some jungle, and that was it. It was like,
yeah,
there wasn't much else going on here. Like, I wanted him to, you know, like, the only thing this movie was missing was him like befriending some like primitive monkey guy.
Which, I mean, I guess it would have fit those kinds of movies. So I don't know how well it would have went over, but
right.
Yeah, the only other one I had on my list, but I haven't seen it in so long that we don't really have to go into it, but I thought of Carnosaur because like we just talked about Jurassic World, you know, we just got these, you know, last two of that trilogy. And so this is like, we haven't gotten a lot of dinosaur movies. So this is kind of that B movie, lesser version of the big giant dinosaur action movie. So
probably
really bad.
Probably the best dinosaur movie that we've gotten in the last 2 or 3 years is probably Velocipaster.
I think so, yeah. I'm with you on that all the way. So that is our puzzle pieces here. Let me just read them down really quick. We talked about Aliens, The Lost World, Kong Skull Island, Planet of the Apes, the Earth All Along trope with a bunch of examples of that, Dinosaur Ride at Disney World, The Last Jedi, Avatar, Land of the Lost, Army of Darkness, and Carnosaur.
Velocipaster.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, of course, and the Velocipaster. We have to include that on the list. Yeah, I mean, we kind of already got into closing thoughts on this, on, you know, what we thought. But I mean, anything else that kind of stuck out we didn't mention?
Oh my gosh.
Probably not.
No, I think I talked this one to death, probably. I just wish it was better. And like I said, we really need, I mean, you seem like this was a premise that was right up your alley. It was a premise that was absolutely right up my alley.
Yeah.
We need a win here in this category. We do. We need a win bad.
Yeah. I'm hoping whatever the next one is that we both are just like so psyched for that it delivers and it's like nonstop ridiculous fun and we can get completely on board. Like I said, I didn't hate this movie. I had enough fun with it, but clearly you didn't like it very much. And I would admit that it's not great.
The one thing that I hate, and I say this all of the time, is I would rather a movie is terrible because it just went for it and went balls to the wall and failed, than this movie, which just kind of was mediocre. And I thought it just kind of, like, there's no big twist in this one. There's nothing that just like sends the story off in some direction that I didn't even know that it was going there. There's no big crazy sci-fi like reveal. There's just nothing here. I would rather they went huge with something that was overly creative and overly crazy than something like this, which is so underwhelming and underbaked. Like,
it's simple to a fault, basically.
It's just like, if you're gonna make any movie, I just feel like you go all out with it. And this one just felt very restrained. Or maybe these guys really just have Quiet Place and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see what happens. I think they're doing that Stephen King movie, The Boogeyman, in a month or two. So I guess we'll see how that works out. But
are they directing that one the same way they directed this one, or are they just the writers on that one?
I believe they're also they're just writing that. Rob Savage is directing that. Oh, okay. Host and dash cam guy. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, I don't know what to say about it, but we'll see. Anyway, I think that does it for 65. I think we've officially buried this one.
Yeah.
deep in the earth.
This one needs to just fossilize.
There you go.
Exactly.
JC, is there a movie you watched recently that you did like and you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to recommend the most recent Oscar winner for Best Picture, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't caught that one, there are some places that are still showing it. Go check that one out, because that's an example of what I just said. Like, I would rather a movie just go all out and either fail or sail. You know what I mean? Like one of those two. And this one definitely set sail. It's a great movie. It deserved the Academy Award. Ke-Huy Quan deserved his, because he is the heart and soul of that movie, and he is incredible. And it's so, I love his story too, where how he couldn't find any work, and then it just took some directors who just like remembered him from being Short Round, from being Data, and just like, you know, where's that guy at, and having to, you know, getting him back into the biz and letting him really flex his muscle. But like, I'm sure that's showing somewhere right now, because it's going to get its little just won the Academy Awards bump. But
sure,
go see that one.
Good recommendation. People should go see that one. So JC, where can people find you and your podcast?
Yeah, so my podcast is Screen Fix, the show where we fix a recent film. And David, the pod god himself, is on my episode that should be coming out in the next 2 days, probably Friday. I am notoriously slow at editing my episodes because, anyway, I'm just notoriously slow at editing my episodes. But he's on the next one, so that is exciting. So, you know, if you liked our dynamic here, you're going to love it even more there. I mean, not even more. You're going to love it just the same over there. This show is way better than mine. It is more professional. It is just leaps and bounds. So this one is better. Yeah, you could find me there on Twitter. You can find me at ScreenFixPod. You can find me in particular at JC ScreenFix. We're also on Instagram. I also co-host a podcast called the Greenlight Cinema Podcast. It is the podcast for Greenlight Cinema, which is the local art house theater in St. Petersburg, Florida. So we talk about the movie industry and about the indie film business, and it's a really cool podcast. So you can find me there as well. And I also host something called VHS Club, also at Greenlight Cinema, where I show like an 80s classic film, and then I host trivia for it. That's also at Greenlight Cinema in St. Petersburg, Florida. And that's my stuff.
That's awesome. And I hope to be able to make it out to one of those one day. That's like a goal, I think. I want to go to 80s night trivia.
Yes.
At that.
So much fun. That's we okay. have a blast. And I always give out like a little Funko Pop, and also like a, you know, 4K Blu-ray, and I always have prizes. It's a good time.
Awesome. Well, JC, it was great getting you back on the show, and hopefully we'll get you back again sometime.
The next sci-fi dinosaur movie.
Yes, let's do it.
I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harrison. We co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years, and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best pictures, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about 65. Thanks to JC for joining me on that one, and thank you to everyone out there listening. If you're enjoying what we do here on Piecing It Together, make sure you are subscribed. You could also drop us a 5-star rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or Good Pods or Spotify. It really helps to make sure the show gets seen in the rankings and all that stuff, supposedly. No one really knows for sure, but we appreciate it anyway. You could also follow me on social media at PiecingPod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And of course, if you have any puzzle pieces for 65 or any of the other movies we've covered recently, get in touch and let me know about them. I will read them on the next trailers episode, and I love getting that audience participation. So definitely get in touch. Let us know. Also, if you ever want to join me for an upcoming episode, I'm always looking for new guests. So definitely get in touch. So with that said, let's close this out with a piece of music like I always do. And with 65, we're going backwards. We're moving backwards into 65 million years in the past. So I'm going to play a song called Moving Backwards. This was from a free album I put out a few years back called Further Into the Dark. I hope you enjoy the track, and you can get the rest of the album. Like I said, it's free on my Bandcamp, along with you could buy my other albums, but this one's a free one. So it's called Further Into the Dark, the album. And Bandcamp is davidrosen.bandcamp.com. So I hope you enjoyed the track, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.